Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360, on July 20th, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. Joining us today as producer and co-host, president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber, Mr. Mark Lipps. And, of course, with us, because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com, and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, Mark, how are you guys doing today?
Hey, doing great. It's Friday. What's not to love about Fridays, right?
Yeah. 7:30 in the morning. That's what's not to love.
Hey, you get the jump start.
I got the United Nations to the bus. They're all headed to San Francisco today.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, they're all headed to San Francisco in a bus. So they're not flying them up there. They're going to be driving all day. And of course, I had to pack the lunch, get them breakfast as usual. But they're headed up to San Francisco. The Italians apparently have flaunted in front of my French guest that they will all be getting a limo for a limo tour up there. The Italians have arranged a limo tour.
Well, of course. Of course they did.
Yeah.
Of course. So. How long do
you can't,
they
You can't
they
meet
stay?
American girls in San Francisco without a limo. So, you know.
Mark, how long are they going to be in San Francisco?
Until Sunday night.
Sunday night.
So
okay.
Not very long because they've got a bus back. I mean, it's like, jeez. But so they'll be back supposedly mid, you know, like 8 o'clock or so on Sunday evening. The Italians leave on I haven't gotten the definitive answer yet. Some have told me Tuesday and some have said Wednesday. And then the French and the Russian leave on August 1st. So next week is the last week. And you know, these guys are interesting. I mean, they're all such different personalities. The Italians have almost been out every night meeting with other Italians and going to the beach and, I guess, met two American girls in Texas. And yeah, exactly. So it's funny. And, you know, the Russian, he's just kind of keeps to himself and, you know, hasn't brought up Putin at all. We haven't talked about Trump and Putin. I've kind of stayed away from that. But, you know, you kind of want to know how he feels about it. But, you know, just haven't gotten
right.
He's very close to the vet.
Yeah, Mark, he's 16. I'm sure he has much more important things on his 16-year-old mind than politics. Mm-hmm. But I have to tell you, Joe, last Sunday Piper and I went over to the Manhattan movie nights at the New Westridge Hotel.
The great meeting.
Yes, yes, and Mark and Alex, the Russian, joined us, and Alex and Piper are the same age. They're both 16. I thought, oh, okay, we'll let them sit together and stuff. Well, I got news for you: a Russian whose English is a second language and a shy 16-year-old girl. Not a lot of conversation, but
yeah.
It was
a lot of looking
out
back at their iPhones. Now I noticed that Piper, yeah, being a girl, of course, is light years ahead of any boy at that age. So I did see her turn to Alex and say, you know, she was going to get something to eat or drink or something, and would you like anything? And I think that was kind of a cue, but he didn't pick up on it. And
yeah,
so,
yeah.
Well, or he picked up on it and, you know, just too shy to go
yeah,
along with it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
but
they pretty much passed popcorn back and forth. That was about the extent of
yeah,
the communication
exactly,
the whole evening. But yeah, but it was a great
yeah,
night. Good
yeah,
night. Yeah.
Hey, so the next movie is September 8th, and that will be La La Land. And our Rotary Club, we're going to have a big Rotary Club presence there. So it'll be fun. It'll be a great place for Jackie. You maybe get some of your group there and invite them out to meet Jackie and Joe. Jackie and Joe.
Yeah.
Come meet Jackie and Joe. You know,
come meet Jackie and Joe.
I will say this, Joe.
Every
and
time.
Amanda.
Yes.
Amanda, she's on. That every single guy, every single guy under 30 should, but I would say now every single guy needs to watch 500 Days of Summer.
Wasn't that an interesting movie?
No, every single guy needs to watch that movie because there is a lesson in that movie, you know, just because,
mm-hmm,
you know what, you know, you can push all you want to almost where it's stalking, but if that person is just not into you, then, you know what, no matter, it just isn't going to happen. I mean,
yeah,
she might hang out with you and do all these things, but if nothing's happening, the writing's on the wall, and you can, and she can be
mm-hmm,
a fabulous friend and someone to do things with and all of that. But, you know, she's sending you a message too. And that is, you know, I thought it was funny. And for those of you that know it, you know, the movie, you know what I'm talking about. But for instance, when he was commiserating after she broke up with him, because, you know, she finally had enough of him whining, and so she broke up with him because she just wanted to have fun, you know, somebody to do
mm-hmm,
stuff with, a really good friend. And she breaks up with him, and then he's commiserating with this buddy, and this buddy finally stops him and says, okay, wait a second, did she say she just wanted to keep this very casual? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, did she ever say that she wanted to be exclusive with you? No. Did she ever say she loved you? No. All of these things. And he goes, no. And he goes, okay, so I'm trying to understand what you don't get. You know, so it's like, you know. And so every single guy, because every single guy runs in someone they just adore. And they want the same, they want that reciprocated. And 9 times out of 10, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unless you have
mm-hmm,
a lot of money or something. But 9 times out of 10, it's not going to happen in the beginning. So I had seen the movie, but I'd completely forgotten about it. So I really thought, what a great – I thought it was a good little movie. Great little movie.
It was.
So anyway, I believe that. Now, so, okay – City Council last night, we had a special meeting. A City Council in the city had a special meeting and presentation by Ann McIntosh of Community Development on short-term rentals. And they put together a whole list of suggestions on what perhaps we could do with short-term rentals. And, of course, you know, it went everywhere from outright ban to you know, a modified version of a rental. and they talk, and basically at the end of the day or end of the night, they just pushed it on down the road, and they've asked the city to come back with some real strong recommendations on a plan that incorporates some of the things that they talked about. And of course, that's TOT, that's a permit, maybe a permit that rolls TOT into the cost of the permit. You know, could be that you can only rent your place for so many days, you know, 120 days, 4 months, something like that. All of these things. Owner-occupied seemed to get, you know, a little more flexibility than the standalones. The one thing that I don't think is necessarily a good thing is they did suggest maybe doing a pilot program in one of the retail areas, which I'm assuming when they say that, they mean downtown Manhattan Beach, where, you know, the iconic pier and all of that. Mm-hmm. The problem I have with that is, first of all, you're doing something for them, and what about the North End? What about Manhattan Village? What about the stores and places all along Rosecrans? Because they say we would monitor that, and then from there we'd make a decision. Well, my experience with the city is by the time they implement it, and then by the time they monitor it, we're going to have a brand new city council.
Right.
And we're back to square one. I mean, we got two people terming out. By the time we get this implemented, by the time we monitored it, and by the way, if it's a pilot program, how many people are going to sign up for it? You know, if they think, oh, and then they're going to pull the rug out, and then they're going to decide not to do it, and now they have my name, where I'm renting, you know, who I am, what I do, all of that. You know, so who's going to register for a program that might go away? You know, they'll just stay underground. So I'm not sure that's a good idea. So I think Nancy Herzman, who I think is really terrific on council, echoed the same thing, that she just thinks a pilot program is kind of a waste of time. We should come up with a model and go for it, you know. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. So they had Airbnb reps were there, and they gave their thoughts on it, and so that was cool that, you know, those representatives were there. Nobody from VRBO, and that was one of the things the Airbnb rep pointed out, was, you know, we're the only ones really sticking up for the short-term rentals. I mean, they're the big kahuna, so understandably, but they're the only ones that show up at these meetings. They're the only ones that kind of pave the way for deciding what works and doesn't work with short-term rentals in cities and things like that, and agrees, you know, meets with the city and tries to come up with solutions. You know, you don't hear that from the other guys. But anyway, that was interesting. So
very, very,
yeah. Bite at the Beach is starting to get some heat. We're getting sign-ups now. I'm loving it. You know, I'm starting to get the bell keeps ringing, and people keep coming in. So
I have to ask, is HFN, is the HFN promo code in direct competition with the MB360 promo code?
I will say that I have been getting some great responses on the HFN. Yes, I have. And MB360, don't know. That's the cool thing about promo codes, you know. The promo codes, I've got them now with Kiwanis, Rotary, L&B, you know, all these different entities. And it's cool. You can see kind of where the heat is, you know, on some of these guys. The city, they wanted, you know, I had already had the police department say, hey, are we getting a promo code this year? I gave them a promo code. I said, what? Cops drink? Okay. So, you know, so they've got one. And I'd love, you know, we should offer Amanda and Larm one.
You could give everybody their own promo code, but I have to tell you that my people, the MP360 people, are generally, you know, they're such busy people. They generally wait till the last minute to purchase tickets to things. So Things are going to heat up. Things are going to heat up in the next
week. Oh, they
week.
Will. And I will tell you this, that I'm recommending that people get their tickets early. We sold out, you know, last year.
I
and
know.
People were scrambling.
I know.
You know, it is, you're right about the personal. I had a guy called, you know, the cool thing about having, being able to have the admin rights to this Eventbrite and things like that. You can do fun things like that. I had a guy called the other day and he goes, you know, I've been coming to Bite at the Beach for 5 years. His name's Ken. 5 years straight. And I got to tell you, you know, last year I had a promo code. The year before I had a promo code. Am I going to get a promo code this year that I can use? And I said, how about Ken and Friends? So there's a promo code, Ken and Friends.
Oh, my God.
Wow, really? I said, yep, you got your own promo code, pal. So go for it. And Nancy Hersman sent me over a great person to work in the office who wants to get some volunteer hours in community service and all of that, just to shadow us and do some things over here. He's a high school student. And I tell you, what a great guy, Ryan Thatch, and he's just a terrific guy. And so I sent to Nancy, okay, Friends of Nancy, promo code, Bite at the Beach.
That's so great.
Yeah,
well,
it's kind of fun.
This could become a huge competition, you know, in future years. Everybody, you give everybody their own promo code and say, okay, off to the races. See
well,
who can
yeah,
get the most
you know,
people.
I wonder
yeah.
if I could do something like a prize. I should do that. I should send a prize out. The most, whoever gets the most people signing up for their promo code and booking, and getting a ticket, maybe they win a night at Shade, you know,
ooh,
or something like that.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay.
That's a great prize.
You know what? I'm
well,
writing it down right now.
Let's talk food. Let's talk food. I guess we're not going to talk travel because that would involve leaving the bubble. But let's talk food. We have a great guest with us who has really made that her passion, or that is her passion. She's now made it her profession. And Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Amanda Bernhardt from Manhattan Beach Food Tours. Now, Amanda has a passion for anything travel-related. She graduated from Chapman University after studying abroad in London and immediately began working in the travel industry. She also worked for a group of restaurants and bars in Newport Beach and loved being a part of the food industry. Now, in July 2016, she got married, left her job, and get this, went on a 3-month European honeymoon before moving to New Zealand. Now, recently, she moved back to her hometown of Los Angeles, eager to bring her passion for travel, especially food tourism, to her hometown. Now, this morning, we're going to learn what Manhattan Beach Food Tours is all about and what they offer their clients. Amanda, welcome to the program. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thanks, guys. I'm so glad I could join you as well. I'm happy to be here.
There is something special about the South Bay. We have an amazing sort of amazing riches in terms of great food, great restaurants, and we know that there are some great culinary experiences that we don't have. How does Manhattan Beach Food Tours work, and what is it bringing to the party that's already amazing here in the South Bay?
Yeah, definitely. So the reason why we were inspired to bring a food tour here to Manhattan Beach is just because when my business partner Lauren and I would travel over the world, we loved using food tours as a way to see a new destination and learn more about where the locals eat and what the locals do and kind of be more immersed in that culture there. And then we both came back from our travels back to our hometown, and we grew up just next door in Hawthorne and El Segundo, but both went to El Segundo High School. But we always came over to Manhattan Beach to eat because all the better restaurants were over there. So that was really where we had grown up eating. And we just thought, like, wow, this city is so gorgeous. The restaurants are so great. We need to bring a food tour here so that other people can experience the tours that we love to experience when we travel. And the thing we noticed is that it's great for travelers from all over, but also for locals who might not know just what's in their own backyard. So
mm-hmm.
we're really trying mm-hmm. to raise awareness for everybody.
So how does the food tour work?
Yeah, so it is a 3-hour walking tour. We start at the Metlock Plaza, and when we're there, we kind of give a brief history about the city of Manhattan Beach. And throughout our walking, we are intermittently giving history and giving facts about the city. And then we actually walk to 7 different stops. Some of them, we actually grab a small item and eat it to go, just kind of on some benches outside. But some were actually inside the restaurants, and we're only inside for about 15-20 minutes, and you're only trying one small thing at each stop, so it's kind of like a progressive meal. So by the end of it, you've had mm-hmm. a full, complete meal, maybe, and then some. but you get to try, you know, 7 different spots at once, which is definitely different from what you would normally do during a dining experience.
I have to ask, Amanda, so... Do you, first off, as far as the tours go, I'm assuming you're online, people can sign up. They can register for a food tour on this date at this time. Do you customize the tour for the people or your tours are already set up? This is what we're doing.
So generally, our everyday tours are already set up. We offer them right now 5 days a week, Tuesday through Saturday. We have our own website at manhattanbeachfoodtour.com or mbfoodtour.com. And then we're also using the platform. It's funny that you were mentioning Airbnb because we're also using the Airbnb Experiences platform for our experiential tour, because that's a kind of fairly new part of their website that they're really trying to develop. And it works kind of similarly to Airbnb, where you're hosting someone in your home. But for this, we're actually hosting people out and about in the city. So we use both platforms, and we offer the tours 5 days a week. The Tuesday through Thursday tours are from 10:30 to 1:30. And then on Fridays and Saturdays, we offer an afternoon tour, so that's from 2 to 5. However, we have customized some tours in the past, particularly for a corporate booking. So if mm-hmm. there is a company that wanted to sign up, it's a great way to do like a team building activity to get everyone out of the office and engaging with each other. So for those, we can completely customize those and make them unique. And then you could actually request a private tour. And if that was the case, we would have some more wiggle room and be able to customize the tour for you then.
You know, okay, that brings me to my next question. You know, there's such yep. a variety. There's such a variety of cuisine in the South Bay. You know, we have all the Pacific Rim influences. So do you do things like a Pacific Rim food tour where you get a little bit of Japanese, Thai, Chinese, Vietnamese? On the other hand, do you ever do something where you're going to have a tour, you're going to hit 7 different restaurants with 7 different types of cuisine? Give us a couple of samples of those tours.
Yeah, definitely. So currently we really just wanted to start with one tour and really perfect it and see what works best for everybody. So right now we offer one tour that has basically 7 different types of food. So without giving too much away, because we like to have it as a little bit of a surprise on our tour, but we do have like a Mediterranean stop, Mexican stop, a seafood stop, obviously dessert to end the tour. But in the future, we are totally open to kind of different ways that we can expand our tour and how we could have different types of tours, like maybe a brunch tour or a mixology tour. So we are definitely curious mm-hmm. of what we can grow in the future. But right now,
what are the times of the tours? You have one that's 1 to 5.
So our tours on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they go from 10:30 to 1:30.
Okay.
And then on Fridays and Saturdays, it's 2 to 5.
Okay, so walk me through 10:30 to 1:30. I mean, you don't have to divulge the name of the restaurants or the places, but so we meet somewhere as a group at 10:30.
Yep. Yeah, we meet at the Metlocks. So we like to suggest that as parking for that lower level so that they could possibly have a chance to park longer than 3 hours if they wanted to stay and hang out.
Okay.
Yeah, so we meet at the Metlocks, and then we kind of do a little intro, do some icebreakers. We like to talk about, we like to ask our guests what's the most memorable dish they've ever had. So it gets people thinking, not necessarily their favorite dish, but just something that's really memorable that stood out to them. And then just by doing that, I think it gets people excited to eat and ready to move on. And then we just kind of walk to our first stop. And then, yeah, from there, we're either taking the food to grab and go, or we're sitting inside for about 15, 20 minutes. And then we head on to the next stop after that.
What's the max on a group size?
Yeah, so we're trying to keep them small at this point because we know that a lot of the restaurants in Manhattan Beach are on the small side and they do get very busy. So our max group size right now is 8. So we have a minimum of 2 people and then a maximum of 8 people.
Okay.
But we've found that it makes the tours more intimate and you get to know the people that you're walking around with. So,
well, the reason I asked, Amanda, this would be, and I probably should, we definitely should talk about it offline, but we should do a lunch and learn with you guys.
Definitely.
You know, normally we do it at the Bellamar and all of that, but the thing is, we can have sometimes, and if we send it out, we can cap it. We can say, you know, the first 25 people to sign up, but, you know, we have 30 people, you know, if it's really engaging, whatever, whoever the guest speaker is, you know, we'll get 40 people at a lunch. And usually you do it at the Bellamar, last one we did at the Lakers training facility. But I want to do more engaging lunches. And I think this would be a cool idea. You're a member. You're a chamber member.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You could be our featured guest, only this would be almost a participatory, interactive lunch and learn, which would be kind of fun. But the thing is, how would you do that? How would we,
like a corporate
deal? I mean, you're going to have 20 people in a corporate thing.
Mark, instead of doing what you normally do with the lunch and learn, why don't you do that lunch and learn on an actual tour?
No, that's what I was just saying, a participatory, interactive tour. But if you can only take 8 people, I mean, how would you do a large group traveling around sampling? I mean, how would you do a tour?
With the corporate tour that we have had, it was a larger group, but it was still less than 15. So what we did is we did 5 stops instead of 7, and we made sure that all the restaurants we were going to could definitely accommodate us. And we tried to go in the off times when it wasn't quite as busy. So I think that we could definitely do a group size of 20 or more. We just have to choose our restaurants and make sure that they're on board and it's a time and group size that works for them as well. So
what about staggered? What if you took one and your partner took one group? And
yeah,
so
yeah,
20,
about,
I mean, could you handle 20 each?
Yeah. Probably. I mean, we would, like I said, we would just need to make sure that the restaurants are on board as well.
Right.
But that was one thing that we talked about for an inquiry that we had for a group size of 20. We talked about maybe splitting up into 2 groups of 10 and then also
And it's all downtown restaurants, right? Is it that, are you staying where you can walk to? So it's all downtown. What about North End?
Well, they have to expand, Mark. They need to get started here, and then they can expand.
All right.
But I have to tell you, Amanda. A couple of months ago, I did a sort of a food tour, but it's exclusively for concierges, where
yes,
they
yes.
I think I think we had about 25, 30 people, and we hit about 7 or 8 different places. So there are restaurants that can they very easily were able to handle all of us. So it's just, you know, it's just a matter of making the right contacts, getting the right restaurants and stuff.
Well, in Torrance and the bigger restaurants, you know, but Manhattan Beach,
This was in Redondo and Hermosa. This is the one I did in Redondo and Hermosa. So.
Just a bit of business. I want to do the station break, and then I need to step away for about 10 minutes. But
okay,
I also want to say, Amanda, what you're doing, when I look at your website, ManhattanBeachFoodTour.com, it's not only a beautiful conception of a website, the way that it presents the Manhattan Beach Pier is absolutely unique, but it's also, what a great idea. I mean, this concept of taking the great food of Manhattan Beach and then creating this experience on top of it and creating this experience among the great food venues and the great restaurateurs. We have some of the greatest restaurateurs literally in the country in our little South Bay. And so creating an experience on top of that is brilliant. Food tours, private tours, and corporate tours. Hats off to you as an entrepreneur. What a great idea. And as someone said, and I couldn't agree more, the jewel in the crown of the South Bay. My gosh.
Yep, that's our favorite favorite motto as well for the city.
Wow.
All right,
Joe, I just wanted to take a moment.
Wait, let's do that station
do
break. Let's do the station break.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show. And we're so thrilled to have you with us. This is the Manhattan Beach Chamber 360 show every Friday at 8 a.m., 8 to 9. And you'll find out all about Manhattan Beach Chamber happenings. And also, we're featuring a special business today. It's extremely special, Manhattan Beach Food Tours. You can find out more at ManhattanBeachFoodTour.com or MBFoodTour.com. And also, we normally do call-ins. Perhaps we can take a caller or two. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. Again, area code 714-242-5288. And I will just step away for about 10 minutes, and I'll be back. And
so that means
of course,
I'm in
you
charge.
Always have Mark. You're in charge. If you can get a word in edgewise with Mark here.
I'm in charge. Watch out. Anyway, so Amanda, I have to ask you, I'm still having a hard time wrapping my head around a 3-month European honeymoon. Who gets to go on a honeymoon for 3 months? What did you do?
It's completely unique. But the reason why we wanted to take advantage of it is because we already knew that we wanted to live abroad in New Zealand for a year. So we had gotten our New Zealand 1 year, it's called a working holiday visa, so you're able to live and work over there. And because of that, we both knew that we were going to be quitting our jobs and we were going to be finding new jobs in New Zealand. So we had this unique opportunity where otherwise we knew we would never be able to take that long of a vacation, probably ever again in our lives. So we just wanted to take advantage of having this time, and we had saved up a lot of money for both the wedding and the honeymoon. But it was a mixture of staying in hotels and mostly actually staying with friends and family, because we both have a lot of family that lives in Europe. So we were really lucky in that sense. We got to bounce around and stay with people we know, and had pretty much a mixture of just spending time with friends and family that we hadn't seen in a long time, and also seeing the sights and doing touristy honeymoon things. So it was just a really great time in our lives that we had to take advantage of.
Is your husband into food as you are?
Oh,
I hope so.
Very much. Yeah.
So
yeah,
so when you were
food and travel enthusiasts.
So 3 months in Europe, was the food as big a part of it as the travel? So when you were in Rome, you had specific things that you wanted to eat and.
Yeah, exactly. And we actually did a few food tours when we were in Europe. One of our favorite ones is in Madrid in Spain. And it just got me even more inspired to want to start my own. But I feel like they have them all over the big cities in Europe. And like I was saying, it's a great way to try out so many different restaurants at once. And then if you're staying for longer, then you can always go back to those ones that you really like.
And learn about the culture.
All right.
And learn about the culture.
Let's take a food tour. If we go to an Italian restaurant, what is the one dish you say this will tell you if this is a good Italian or not so good? I mean, what do you measure Italian restaurants by? I know what I do.
Well,
I measure it by the carbonara.
Oh, okay, yeah.
If that Italian restaurant can make an incredible carbonara dish, then I know that they're really good. They're very good because there are good carbonaras and bad carbonaras.
Definitely. Yeah, one of the things that we always like to test is the pizza and the dough.
Okay.
So I feel like you can tell there's a really great restaurant in Manhattan Beach that makes their dough every day in-house, so it's fresh, and you can just really tell the difference.
And you can't tell us what pizza place that is?
It's a state secret.
It's what?
It's a state secret.
Well, if you take the Manhattan Beach food tour, then you'll find out. So.
Amanda, you've got to come to our Bite at the Beach because.
Yes.
Well, no,
yeah,
you guys are
going to
be there. You're going to be there. You've got a booth there. You're already going to be there. But you know who I've got there? I've got Urban Oven, and they travel around with a wood-fired oven making pizzas.
Yes, yeah, I've heard of them.
So
that's
fun.
That's
all right, so,
Wait. Before you move on to the next question, Mark, I just got to point out.
I want to do another restaurant.
Okay, we'll do another restaurant, but I just wanted to point out, being of the Italian persuasion, Italy is broken up into regions, and each region has their own food specialty.
Yes.
So you're not going to find carbonara everywhere.
Different
regions. So, you know, even pizza, you know, everything is very regional in Italy. So, I don't know.
Hey, I have two Italians staying with me right now, 15, 16 year old Italians. My United Nations group. And I took them to we went and got some pizza the other night, the whole group and us. And they laugh at the fact that we put Parmesan, have a little bottle of Parmesan on the table. They would never pour Parmesan on their pizza.
One of them was
trying to sprinkle Parmesan on the other guy's pizza, and he was just not having, oh my gosh, get that away from me.
Well, first off, you should have brought them over to Italian for pizza. Italian.
Well, that has been a fantastic find. I mean, that is a discovery. Now they've branched out even more. But it is interesting, though. What I'm trying to do, though, is not take them to places that they're used to, even though they're probably would like to go to an Italian restaurant. But you know, the Italians are going to say, "Oh, this is not good." You know, I mean, I can already tell they're food snobs. You know, because they're Italian and they eat really good. You know, I mean, I'm sure all their fruit and, well, certainly their pastas. I mean, they tell me they do. You know, they don't buy pastas and fruit in a grocery store. They get it's all handmade pasta that they buy. They may not make it themselves, but they buy it that way. And and they have a lot of pasta. And the pizza, you know, we've Americanized, just like anything, we take our pizza and all of a sudden what was a margarita, just this refreshing, nice, simple pie, now we've dumped everything from barbecue chicken to,
pineapples.
You know, So it's
sacrilege as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, Amanda, so let me get back to this. So you spent 3 months in Europe, and then you moved to New Zealand. Did you do the food thing in New Zealand, or was that more of a discovery?
Do you mean as far as did I go on any food tours, or did I...
Well, did you get into the business? Did you work in the food industry in New Zealand?
I didn't work with food tour while I was in New Zealand, but I did actually work for a dairy company while I was there, so somewhat in the food industry, but I didn't start working for a food tour until I moved back here to Los Angeles.
Back.
Yeah.
Okay, and what was the impetus of for New Zealand specifically?
Well, we were really inspired to actually spend some more extended time abroad, living abroad. My husband and I actually met when we were studying abroad in London, so we had the great opportunity to live in London for about half a year, but that kind of made both of us want to have the experience of living abroad again at some point in our lives. And it's kind of hard to do when you have a U.S. passport and you're trying to look for a place where you can live and work. But a good friend of mine was in New Zealand, and then she told me about this program that they have with this one-year working holiday visa. So it's pretty unique to other countries around the world because you can actually stay for a full year and work while you're there. So inspired us to give it a try.
Okay,
basically.
Tell us about your food experience in London, because traditionally, England, food, not a great history there. But I understand that it has changed. So can you tell us about that?
Yeah. I mean, I personally really enjoy the food in London. It's funny, but one of my favorite foods there is actually Indian food, because they have a really great Indian food scene. And they have this street, Brick Lane, I don't know if you've heard of, and they have it's lined with really good, authentic Indian restaurants. So that's kind of one of my favorite areas to go.
Well, I think that's why Indians taken off in London. I mean, the hotel breakfast, I remember taking a soccer team over there, and the hotel breakfast, you know, the blood sausage, the pork, the beans, and, you know, I mean, just fish and chips was, I guess, the way to go if I was going to order anything. Yeah.
Well, they would boil everything to death. They'd boil meat to death. They'd boil vegetables to death and stuff like that. But yeah, they have a great Indian culture there. And they've always had Indian food. But you said it's taken off.
Yeah,
in a big way.
So. I mean, I think it's definitely one of the most trendy areas to eat and things to eat while you're there.
Well, but of the English food, so you've got you've got fish and chips, of course. But what's the other?
Shepherd's pie. Shepherd's pie.
What's your go-to for indigenous Indian or indigenous English food?
Oh, I mean, it's got to be fish and chips. I have this favorite fish and chips shop by where I used to live, and that's. Yeah, that's where I still go back and visit. It's where the locals get their fish and chips.
Wow, I love fish and chips, but you can get too heavy, too fried sometimes.
That's true.
Well, didn't gastropubs originate the term gastropub? Didn't that originate over there, or am I completely off base? The gastropub.
I'm not sure, actually.
You know what's interesting?
I thought it originated over there.
You know what's interesting that I've noticed having the United Nations at my house is when we go out, I guess hamburger. I said, so what's your favorite American food? And they said burgers. But when you think about it, our primary menu is really a melting pot of so many other cultures.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, definitely. Just like our makeup of our society, you know, of who we are as a country. I mean, we don't all look the same. You go to some countries, they all look the same, you know. And you know you're in that country. You know, here, you know, we have such a melting pot, but I've noticed it with the food, too, is so what's hours. I guess a turkey. I don't know
I think burgers. I think burgers are originally. Or didn't they originate in Germany?
They may have. What is original to us? Cornmeal. I mean, what is our original? The what?
What was that, Amanda?
I was saying apple pie.
Apple pie, but
all right.
Okay. Entree, not dessert, not.
I think turkey. I think the Thanksgiving dinner is probably as close as you get to.
Yeah, cranberry.
Cranberries,
okay.
Corn.
Corn and turkey.
Squash. We have the squash.
Yeah.
I believe was native to America. Huh. I guess I never thought about that.
Well,
I thought about it
when I was. You know, everything, I was looking at the menu, I go, okay, pizza, well, that's Italian. Oh, I can take them to get some pasta. Well, nope, that's Italian. I can, so it becomes burgers and maybe some place that had handmade potato chips. I asked the French guy. So I said, French fries. And he goes,
no.
That's so terrible. That's so Belgian.
Oh,
he said
Belgian.
French fries are from Belgium. He said they should be called Belgian fries because that's where they came from. There's nothing French about them. And, I mean, he kind of just lifted his eyes and it's, oh, Belgian. You know?
Oh.
It's pretty funny.
Oh, so, interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So
yeah,
anyway,
now I'm going to be thinking about those.
I know, but really, when you go to lunch, I mean, think about it. Now, peanut butter and jelly, maybe that's an American dish.
What about the other thing, because
we were told it is probably peanut allergies, but I think it's American because, you know what, you show peanut butter to the group that's staying at my house, and they don't want it. You know, it's Nutella. It's Nutella for them. So
yeah. Interesting.
Right.
Joe, we were just trying... Joe, we've been trying to figure out what is indigenous American food because Mark just pointed out that any restaurant you go into, the menu is such a mixture of food from around the world, and the only thing we could come up with is the turkey, the classic turkey dinner with cranberry sauce corn and potatoes.
American Indian.
Yeah.
Anything they ate. You know, maize.
Yeah.
What about donut?
Well, no. The French
we're talking about
and others have pastries.
Beignets.
You know, they're big on pastries and all
beignets.
Of that. So, Amanda, are you full service food eater or are you? You're not vegetarian or
vegan
no,
or
not
pescatarian
no,
or anything.
I love it all.
Well, I want to. By the way, so here's a suggestion. City Council probably in late August, probably the last meeting in August. I don't know. You'd have to kind of keep an eye out for it and look at their agendas. But the next time they have an Airbnb discussion, I would get your partner and stand outside and give everybody lots, you know, handfuls of flyers because they have lots of Airbnb people who have Airbnbs show up. And how cool... If you're staying here in an Airbnb, I guarantee you people, they love food and would love to take a little food tour. You know?
And if somebody were to book an Airbnb in LA County, then Airbnb does a great job of cross-marketing, and then they'll send you an email saying, would you like to add on one of these experiences nearby where you're staying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where in that email to them. So, it doesn't even necessarily need to be someone staying right in Manhattan Beach. It could go to anyone staying anywhere nearby. So,
well, I know that a lot of my friends who have Airbnbs put copies of the restaurant menus in their Airbnbs and all of that. I mean, to have a flyer with the LA Food Tour, because people pick stuff up when they check into their place. They pick stuff up, they look at it, you know, and to see that LA Food Tour, they go, oh, honey, we got to do this.
Yeah.
Now, Amanda, I just wanted to cover real briefly, though, that you've talked about something that I think many people would be interested in, and then that is that Airbnb as a company has a concept called Airbnb Experiences, and that's how you can advertise the Manhattan Beach Food Tour. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because that sounds like something, you know, another level of exposure for all local businesses to have tours or experiences that they can add to the Airbnb platform. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. As far as I know, it's a fairly new add-on to the website, maybe like just over a year ago that they added it. But now when you go to the homepage for Airbnb, you can either look for, it asks what you're looking for, if you're looking for a home or if you're looking for an experience. So right there on the homepage, you can type in a city and actually look for experiences in that city instead of just places to stay. And it's really great for small local businesses because they actually have a process with the Airbnb experiences. So you need to apply and then you need to get accepted by them. So they need to also approve that this offering that you have is a good fit with the company and is in line with their same values as far as hosting someone. And like I mentioned, not necessarily in your home, but hosting them in the city that you're in a unique way. So there's some really great experiences on there. There's some other food tours around the world, but in the South Bay, there weren't any other ones. So we really wanted to bring that to the South Bay. But I did notice in Manhattan Beach that they have some other unique offerings on there. Like they have, a photography course you can do, and they have like a stand-up paddleboard yoga session you can do, or meditating on the beach. So it's all very unique, but it's designed to get people out and about in the city that you're in, hopefully doing something new and meeting new people along the way. So
one of the things about your business, Amanda, that really strikes me is that this kind of a concept of a Manhattan Beach food tour could be an X food tour. It could be any local area across the nation could have a food tour. You could really franchise this kind of business to do other locations.
That's cool. Yeah.
Wow.
American dream.
The American dream.
But the other thing you have to remember, what makes it really special, this goes for my business as well. If people are going to use your service, they want to know that you know what you're talking about. So when you start stretching too far, if you don't live in the city that you're recommending people go to, I have an issue with that. You know, the fact that Amanda and her partner are local and they know these places and they have relationships with the restaurants and they're on top of the food scene, that's what makes it unique.
Right.
So and I think that's really important. That's really important.
So I have a sensitive question. I have a sensitive question. What is it going to cost me to go on a food tour?
So our food tour, we have a price if you would like to include our small wine tasting stop. So that adult price with drinks is $65. And then if you are not drinking, then you would be $60. And then we also have a lower child price as well. And all of that's on our website.
This includes the food, this includes tip and everything?
Everything, yep.
All in, never have to reach into my wallet again, $65.
Yes.
And I'll be going to seven places?
Seven places, yes.
What are you doing for lunch?
No, that's a great deal, because think about it. You go out, if I go out with my husband for dinner, it's $120.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
a little more, throw in the tax and tips and stuff. But this way, it's a 3-hour experience. By the way, the minute you said a 3-hour tour, a 3-hour tour.
I know.
But you know, this is a 3-hour experience. You're getting to taste a half a dozen or more different restaurants, checking out a bunch of different restaurants. It's an experience, which is fantastic.
Okay, now
yeah,
here's the other thing.
Okay.
One more time, Amanda.
Would
oh, I was just gonna say, and also you're learning a lot along the way because we also provide history along the way, history of the town, history of the restaurants that you're going into. So, yeah, that just helps to kind of add to the whole experience.
Now, what if you're? But here's the thing, okay? Because I was thinking, okay, that would be cool. Because I used to do a gourmet. We used to do a gourmet. We did it for like 15 years in our neighborhood, and then it kind of fizzled out. And but there were 10 of us, so we're all locals here in Manhattan Beach. Have been for 30 years. Would that be something we would be interested in? Because we've probably been to a lot of these restaurants that you're talking about.
Yeah. I definitely think so. We've already had some locals come on our tour that have lived in either El Segundo, Hawthorne, Redondo Beach, who've lived there their whole lives. And even though sometimes they had been into some of the restaurants we've been in, they might not have specifically tried the dishes that we've picked out. And they might not have even known the added interesting facts that we are able to share about the restaurants in the city. So I do think overall, and you have a great experience of hopefully going with other guests and maybe meeting new people and having
well,
a
that brings up,
experience. So
that brings up a good
great.
Point, though. But that brings up a good point, though, that if I said, okay, I want to do something with my neighbors, we're not, we're pretty familiar with Manhattan Beach. We're not so familiar with maybe the Redondo Riviera Village area.
Mm.
Would that be something you would organize and we'd do that? Or are you strictly Manhattan Beach?
At this stage, we're still strictly Manhattan Beach, but we are in the future definitely interested in Hermosa, Redondo, and looking into those areas. But we would have to spend the time kind of setting up those tours first before we'd be able to offer
Well,
that.
You have to also go someplace where there are clusters. I would...
Yeah.
Now, Amanda, you should. We can introduce you to as the chamber. We can introduce you to Cher, who is the marketing person over at Manhattan Village. But Manhattan Village, the new Manhattan Village, once they get all built out, they're saying they're going to have two new restaurants that are just off the hook, must attend type restaurants. Like valet your car type stuff, and that would be a great place to offer through Manhattan Village to offer a food tour of their village, and you go and check
definitely.
All their different places.
I just want to add in that not only that, Mark, but I think that any new restaurant, any new high-end restaurant would do well to add themselves to a Manhattan Beach food tour as a part of their marketing to build their clientele. Any new restaurant would say, we've got to be, a member of the Manhattan Beach food tour so new people learn about us. I think that's
right,
another marvelous
aspect. But the thing is, it has to be someplace they can walk to that's clustered.
Oh, sure.
Unless they eventually,
right.
In success, they could get a party bus and be able to take people, wine on the bus, and take people from one restaurant to one maybe, a mile away to another, But
if they're not going to make it anyway. If they're not clustered, they're not going to make it anyway.
No, location.
Right.
Well, no. As I mentioned, I do want to be – I did one of these food tours a couple of months ago, and we had the Sprinter vans. We had two Sprinter vans, and we went, as I said, from Redondo to Hermosa and back. So, yeah. You can do it with Sprinter vans. That's just another aspect of it. But listen, this hour has flown by once again. So, Joe, you got to wrap this up. It's Friday. We got things to do.
It's Friday. I hope you're enjoying your Friday. Thank you. for spending your Friday morning with us. As always, every Friday, 8 to 9, the Manhattan Beach Chamber 360. We love having you. And today we were meeting with Amanda Bernhardt from Manhattan Beach Food Tour, manhattanbeachfoodtour.com or mbfoodtour.com. What an amazing local business. Thank you so much for joining us today, Amanda.
Thank you so much for having me. I had such a great time talking to you guys.
Well,
guys,
I love the idea,
really,
and I want to do a lunch and learn. I want to do a chamber event with MB Food Tour. I think that would be so
great.
Fun.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
Fantastic. Thank you,
Happy
Mark.
Happy Friday,
thank
everyone.
Thank you, Jackie, for joining.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk soon.
Weekend.
Have a great weekend.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a great day.